irreverent, entertaining, cool. You are listening to LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
You're listening to The Max. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. That's right, you're listening to The Max here on LA Talk Radio. I am doing a million things at once right now. I am watching the BET Awards. My best friend, Melky Jean, her brother, Wyclef, just won an award, a humanitarian award. Check out YELEHaiti.com. He just won for that. My girl, Alicia Keys, just won KeepAChildAlive.org. There's so much going on tonight, so much going on this week. We're going to talk about sex. We're going to talk about astrology. We're going to talk about Michael Jackson, Farrah Fawcett, the squeegee guy. You know, he died too. There's been a lot going on, and I haven't been here. So we've got a lot to catch up with. So I'm glad you all chose to be here tonight. I don't know, like, where we're going to even start, but you know what? We're going to start with happy birthday to everybody. Today's Kathy Bates' birthday. So happy birthday to you, Kathy Bates. I got a lot of happy birthdays, but I'm just going to say happy birthday to everyone. A special happy birthday to my agent here in New York, Mark Turner at Abrams. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Tony Leroy. You know he's been on my show before, the psychic. We've got some great things. Speaking of psychics, I had my reading done. We're going to talk about that. But better yet, we've got sex doctor in the house, Tamara. She's here with us tonight. We've got Elizabeth coming up in just a little bit. We're going to open the lines to your calls, 323-203-0815. That's the number here at the studio, so don't be afraid to use it. If you want to talk about sex, call it. If you want to talk about astrology, call it. Or in general, if you just want to talk and you need a friend, I'm Max Tucci, so I'm here for you. So call in, 323-203-0815. The lines are open to LA Talk Radio. It's the place to be Sunday nights, 8 o'clock in LA, 11 o'clock to all my New Yorkers. What's going on, everybody? I got a plug. CNL Magazine, Culture and Leisure Magazine, Rolling Stones, my very good friend Irene Zelinsky. She's got her huge ad campaign, first two pages in there. Congratulations. Check out and get your subscriptions to CNL Magazine. And while we're talking about magazines, CBS, watchmagazine.com is the place to go to get all your entertainment news. CBS Watch Magazine. All the new seasons are coming out pretty soon, so get all your latest gossip in CBS Watch Magazine. Fun magazine. All right, without any further ado, I want to talk about sex. So let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you. And me. What's going on, Tamara? Welcome to Max and Friends and to the Max.
Well, hello there, Mr. Max. I am so glad to be back on the show tonight.
You know, I've taken a week off last week. I had a huge event. And then this week, I'm like, I just have to get back into radio, man. It's been, you know, when you miss a week, it's 2 weeks that goes by. So I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm so glad that you're here and that I don't even know what to catch people up on. But if you want more information on me, go to twitter.com/MaxTucci and get all my information there. So on that note, how have you been?
Oh, my gosh.
How have you been?
Amazing.
Oh, we've got a call. Caller, you're live on the Max. Who's this?
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Hello?
Hi, caller. Can you hear us? You're live on the air.
Who's this?
Is this Richard calling?
Yes.
Richard, you're live on Max and Friends. What's going on, Richie?
I would like to know, what do women really want from a man?
That's the best way to start off the question, isn't it, Tamara? What do women really want from a man? That's from our caller, Richie in Alabama. So what do women really want from a man?
Rich, I am so glad you asked this question because one of the things, there's different stages of women. So if we're going to talk about like the first stage woman, that's someone who just wants sex. The second stage woman, she wants someone to not only love her for her body, but love her for her mind. So then the third stage woman wants you to love her not only for her body, her mind, but also her heart. And one of the things that David Data talks about is that a woman just wants to be cherished for all of those things, all three in one. So we want you to not only fuck our bodies, we want you to fuck our mind, our hearts, and to be a part of us and to stand solid in who you are, in your consciousness. So to the best of your ability that you know who you are and what your purpose is on this planet, that is extremely sexy to us. We can follow, we can trust that. We can trust a man who knows the direction of where he's going and who he is.
And the direction of his erection.
Yes, not only his penis erect, but his mind erect and his heart erect. We love that.
Well, then what happens when the woman becomes 65 years old and her body's no longer desirable?
Well, you know
what?
Well,
then you turn her upside down and let gravity take place.
Huh?
I said you turn her upside down and let gravity take place.
So it's just about love, right?
Well, right. It really is. And you know, when you're in love with someone like that, I mean, you love their body no matter what age they are. And it's really about a presence inside of a person, how they show up. You know, so am I still on? Can you hear me?
We are. Thanks so much, caller,
for
calling in, though. But yeah, so okay. I say, you know what? What do you say for about a younger man with an older woman?
The cougars. You know what? That is so attractive these days. It's very, very popular for older women to be with younger men. There's something intoxicating about a woman who knows who she is and she's confident about that. And it's very sexy to a younger man because they want to be led. They want to be taught. Show me what you know, baby. So, and then there's something intoxicating about a man who worships the woman, you know, from a younger age, like, oh, the goddess. You know, there's something very sexy about that.
That's the truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? Mm-hmm. I've got a Twitter question, and actually it's about, okay, because I always quote this. I always quote, romance without finance is a nuisance. It's one of my biggest jokes. But in reality, it really becomes an issue for relationships when there's romantic, you know, when there's that romantic involvement, when people are, they're geared to get married, but then the money issue comes up, and then all of a sudden, it's like the woman has more money than the man, or the man has more money than the woman. How is there an equal happy balance? I guess the question is, it's like, how are you able to put finances aside and just appreciate love for what it is?
Well, that's something that's very difficult to tease out because that's always going to have, it's going to be a segment that's going to be a part of it. So when the woman makes more money, one of the communications that needs to happen is like, baby, listen, I love you and I make more money and I don't want this to interfere in our lovemaking of who we are. So lots of communication. You've got to stay very present with your partner because they're going to feel insecurities about whoever's making more, who's ever making less. You know, basically it's not to avoid the finances, but it's to embrace it and bring it in and then redefine what you want your relationship to look like in light of who makes more money. You know, so you really want to talk about that.
It is tough, isn't it?
Yeah,
I tell you.
It is.
But you know what? I always joke around. I always say romance without finance is a nuisance. But you know what? In the reality of it all, if you're in a relationship, and this is my advice now, and someone makes more money than the other, you know what? It doesn't matter because love is what's going to bring you together and money will come and go. But love will come and go too. You know what I'm saying? But if you got that love, don't worry about the money because love is stronger than finances.
You know what it really is? When you have that heart and soul connection, which is that second and third level dimensions of joining between two people, really it's just that first stage of like, if I don't have money, I'm going to die. You know, so when you have that mentality, it means a heck of a lot more whether your man or your woman's making it. When you have the higher states of consciousness, it becomes less important, however, still significant.
Yeah, that's still significant. You know, I am just like all over the place tonight. I got to tell you, we're going to ask Liz what's going on with my chart tonight because I am literally on Farm Town. There's this new application on Facebook that I'm addicted to and you create your own little farm. And I realize that I am like literally playing that and talking to it at the same time. So that's an addiction. And why I'm bringing up this question is because I had a Twitter question and the girl says, my man is playing video games instead of having sex with me. How can I get him to stop?
Maybe she can put some remote control. I was just going to say that. She can put some remote control buttons on her and say, baby, you push this button, it does this.
become the game. Or you know what? Or you get the twister for two people.
Oh, there you go. That's a very fun game.
And play Twister, Naked Twister. But that's a tough thing because a lot of women have problems with men and video games. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. What is the real answer for that?
You know, I know one of my co-hosts, in another radio show I was on, that was the same issue she had with her husband. And one of the things that they did, and I encourage them to do, is really a lot time. Like, as soon as he gets home, he wants at least like maybe 2-3 hours at video games. But then you allot, look, then after that, maybe 2 or 3 hours, we're going to do this together. So you don't want to ever feel like one side is being neglected of what their desire is, you know, because we all have different hobbies. You know, and I encouraged my girlfriend to just really spend a lot of time with her girlfriends so that when she does come back and home to be with her man, she's got so much more to contribute because she's filled up by being with her girlfriends. And that's what I encourage them to see the video game for their husbands or for their man is it's kind of like them being with their, like it is for us being with our girlfriends. It fills them up. It gives them a sense of wholeness because men love to zone out. They love to go into the television. They love to go into their video games. And it brings a state of well-being. Yeah. And let them.
You know what? Let them. You know what? Because I think that, you know what? Whatever a woman does during the day, if a man is out work and the woman is shopping, that's her downtime. Give your man some downtime on his video games. Because you know what? When the uptime comes, if you let him chill out a bit, he's going to have even more time to invest in you. So keep that in mind.
Absolutely.
But you know what? We've got a caller on the line. Caller, you're live on Max and Friends. Who's this and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Andre.
And where are you calling
from? I'm calling from Miami.
How are you?
Hello?
So, what is your question for our sex doctor, Tamara?
Hi, Tamara.
Hi, sweetheart.
My question is, my boyfriend likes it a lot when I don't know how to word that. To swallow his ejaculate.
Okay.
But sometimes it's very bitter and sometimes it's not. Is there like a reason why?
Oh, yes, honey. And it will have a lot to do with his diet. But I'm going to encourage you with something that's going to be really, really cool. Because swallowing for a man or for a woman, it's almost as if you've taken them completely into yourself with total acceptance. And one of the things that you can do is make sure that his penis is in the far back of your throat and allow the ejaculate to slide down the back of the throat to where it doesn't bypass any of your taste buds.
Wow.
Because they don't let it the tongue.
Yeah, don't even let it bypass the tongue. Honey, just let it go right into the back. Lift up your neck. Lift up your throat. Allow your throat to open. Make sure you're breathing. Breathe through your nose. Allow his ejaculate.
This is going to be difficult. I'm going to go through all your steps next time.
Okay. Okay. And try it. Let us know how it goes.
Don't touch the tongue. Go down the throat.
Yeah, just let it slide right down the back of your throat. Okay. So you'll just like swallow it, but never taste it.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
And you know what my advice is? My advice real quick, because we're going to let you go, caller, but my advice is give your man some pineapple juice and let the pineapple, let nature take its course with that whole thing.
That will help.
Okay. Thank you guys very much.
So that's my advice. Enjoy your night, and if you swallow, make sure you know who you're swallowing. Good night. But you know, you got to keep it real, Tamara. You know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely, love.
You can swallow an oyster, but don't swallow someone if you don't know who they are. And get tested, people. You know what? I want to talk about this real quick. Get tested. If you're playing the field and if you're doing your thing, if you're swallowing this or swallowing that or licking this or licking that, make sure you're all clean first. Because the last thing you want to do is swallow something and get something. Right?
Oh, honey. So much so. That is just, a given.
And there are clinics that you can find out in 15 minutes. So without getting vulgar, because, you know, I got to be right. But I'm going to just break it simple right now. People, don't fuck it up. Life is too precious to waste it on cheap sex. And I don't want to say cheap sex. But if you don't know who you're sleeping with, I just think, if you respect your body will respect you. So don't be cheap with yourself. You know, I always tell this is funny. I don't think we spoke about this before, Tamara. But I always tell women, I say, you know what, girls, put a price on your pussy. And people think I'm crazy. But you know what that means by that when I say put a price on your pussy? It means that if you want a filet mignon, don't date somebody that's going to give you a Big Mac because it's not going to work. And if you put a value on yourself, you'll put a value in your relationships.
Oh, I love that, Max. I love that. You know, that is so sexy.
People get vulgarity, unfortunately. So I always say, put a price on your pussy. If you want filet mignon, put the price tag of filet mignon on it.
Oh, bring it on. Mm-hmm.
You know?
And it's going to be juicy and good.
It will be. But yeah, but always, you know what? Get tested.
This and is worth the wait.
It's worth the wait. And you know what? You can get it done in 15 minutes. There are places where you can do it right away. Mm-hmm. So on that note, keep it safe because we want you around so you can listen to Max and Friends here on LA Talk Radio. If you want to call in, the number here is 323-203-0815. Of course, we've got our sexpert, sex doctor, Tamara. Tamara, you've got so much coming up. You're still doing your lectures. You're still teaching. Are you on break right now for summer, though?
You know what? I am. And oh my gosh, Max, I'm so excited because I'm getting ready to go to Alaska. I'm going on a cruise with a bunch of authors, and I'll be able to present my book, Emerald Echo, the story, and they're going to be giving away a publishing deal on one book that they like the most. So cross your fingers with me.
All right. So when yours is already published, I get a signed copy, right?
Oh, honey, you know it. Absolutely.
Now, that's exciting. And, you know, Alaska, man, they've got, what is it, 10 men for every woman? So you're going to have a fun time there.
Oh, brother. Oh, I'm going to say, men, please, back off.
Right? I'm a children's author.
That's right.
I'm not a sex doctor. but you know what? That's exciting. I'm going to have, you know, Liz, our astrologer, our resident astrologer, in-house astrologer for Max and Friends, she's coming on in a bit. I'm going to have her do our charts because there's definitely a reason why we met and there's so many fun things going on. You know, you've got your book coming up. I'm writing a cocktail book now because I don't know if I told you this or not, but I am coming out with a vodka line.
Oh, yes, you did. You told me. Is it out?
It's not out yet, but we're working on it now. We're doing the labels. We're doing the bottles. We're really getting excited. So I'm going to have a huge vodka launch coming out pretty soon. Of course, y'all go to maxtucci.com for more information. The best way to find my information, though, is twitter.com/maxtucci because that's where you're going to find out all the scoop on what I'm doing. But you know what? We'll be able to give the books, your books to the kids and the vodka to their moms. How's that
sound?
Oh,
there you go. There you go. I love it.
You know? But I missed you on the show. It's, you know, it hasn't been long, but I feel like I've missed you.
Oh, honey, I miss you. I love when we come together. It's so perfect. So somebody's going to be doing our charts?
I'm going to have Liz do them. Not tonight, but on another show we'll have her do them. Because tonight, everybody, listen up. This show is dedicated to a couple people. Ed McMahon, first of all. Poor guy got totally overshadowed with his death. Ed McMahon, Farrah Fawcett, and of course, Michael Jackson. You know, it's like unbelievable how that's what happens. Summer, it's like the summer comes and everyone dies in Celebrityville. But you know what? So we're going to do actually tonight, we've got a special reading because I thought about this today. I'm like, there is totally a reason why Michael Jackson died on the same day that Farrah Fawcett died. So we've got Liz in the studio now. She's working on charts. We're not going to bring her on the show just yet, but she's going to tell us why that happened and why Michael Jackson's death overshadowed Farrah Fawcett. So it's very, very interesting.
Wow.
So that's coming up just a little bit later in the show on Max and Friends here on LA Talk Radio. We encourage you to call in at 323-203-0815. That's the number here at the studio. Don't be shy. If you want to talk about sex, we got someone here for you. Make up a name if you're embarrassed. We don't know who you are. This is radio. You can call in naked. You could be in the middle of sex for all we care. Just call in. And
just
speaking of
turn
that,
it up.
Right? Turn it up. And on top of things, Beyonce just won for video of the year, single ladies, for best video of the year. Now, you know, what do you think of that term? Perfect segue. What do you think of the term, if you like it, then you should have put a ring on it?
Well, I think what that speaks to is ownership or claiming someone. It says, you know, let them know that you belong. You know, and I think that that's a beautiful saying. Put a ring on it. You know, say, wow, you belong with me. I love that. Claim it. Stand up. Own it. There's something very powerful about a woman being able to surrender in that space of being claimed. I love that. It's beautiful.
You know what? You know what I was talking about this week? Because I'm really like disturbed with, you know, and I'm not by any means like chauvinistic. I mean, you've known me long enough to know that. But I think, you know, women wanted liberation. Women wanted to vote. Women wanted all these things. They wanted the independence. And through that independence, they're like, men are no longer men, or men are no longer this.
Right.
And I was having this conversation. I got to tell you, I got into a little bit of a tip with a friend of mine. And I'm like, you know what? Screw you. Because if you would let the man open the door for you, if you would let the man still pay for your bill, if you would let the man be the man in the relationship and take care of you, men wouldn't suck. Do you agree or disagree?
You know, I totally agree, Max. I'm so glad you brought this up because we really, by default, have taken on the male role, many of us. And I think it's because women have been so hurt and disappointed. But I think when we heal from that, get over that, allow our men to be men and where we can be women, it can be a beautiful marriage to have those polar opposites of the female and the male energy coming together by allowing that the man to stake his claim with you. I think that is so sexy and we lose that sexiness. And that's why I think there's so many sexual problems because when women come home as men, sex isn't happening.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not going to. You've got to decide who's going to be the man, who's going to be the woman as far as the energy so that that sexual spark can be ignited. Because even two people coming home in their female energy, it's not happening. Two coming home in their male energy, it's not happening. You got to have one male, one female, just like in the spark plugs when you charge a battery that's been dead.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have a positive and a negative. So spark it up and be the woman that your heart longs to be. We yearn to be women. We yearn to surrender. But we also need our man to just stake that claim and to put a ring on it.
Put a ring. Does chivalry still exist?
It does, and I love it.
Okay, and not just down south, right?
No.
Because, everyone's like, if you want a good man, if you want a real man, you need a southern man. And, you know, my friend Emily, she always says that the chivalry of gentlemen still lacks in the south. And I think just because a lot of values are still instilled in the south that aren't, you know, like in these bustling cities.
Sure.
I don't know.
Sure.
But it was just something that disturbed me because, you know, this girl and I got into a major argument, not major, but into an argument about it. And it pissed me off, you know, because she's making well over $250,000 a year, you know, and she's doing well and she drives a beautiful Bentley. And I'm like, how dare you try to say that men suck when you're trying to be the man?
Right.
You know, it's like, what are you trying to prove? Let the man take care of you for once. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's not bad if the woman wants to take care of the man sometimes, but then just get a man with female traits and you'll be fine.
Oh, there you go. There you go. I love it, Max.
So, yeah.
I think when we really listen to our heart, there's just a part of us that just love surrendering. There's a part of us that loves for the man to be the man. If we're really, really honest with ourselves and not just speaking from hurt, you know, that there's a part of us that says, oh, please show up. Show up because then I get to. Yeah, it's very sexy.
It's great. I'm just following Star Jones on Twitter right now because Maxwell just performed on BET and Star Jones just wrote, thank you, Father, from Maxwell. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. You're killing me. My girl and I are cracking the heck up.
Oh, that's awesome.
See what happened. But Star Jones, you know, she's been the one to watch on Twitter about Michael Jackson's death because, as you know, an attorney, she knows what's legit and what's not and who to believe and who not. And I just had to plug that right there for you, Star Jones. So big up. But you know what? I wanted to talk to you. Mariah Carey came out with a song that's been raving the charts right now called Obsessed. And that has become a major issue. Beyonce did a movie called Obsessed as well. You know, when an individual becomes obsessed with another, okay? Mm-hmm. And the beginning of the song says, I don't understand why you're so obsessed with me. So for a minute or two, let's talk about obsession and how dangerous it is and what are red flags of having an obsessive mate?
Oh my gosh, Max, this is a great topic because obsession has nothing to do with love.
That's right.
You know, it's just the polar opposite. When you are totally obsessed and consumed and your identity is so enmeshed and wrapped up in someone else that you live or you breathe or you die or you are excited, everything is dependent on this person. It's extremely unhealthy and both of you are going down. Even if you throw a lifeline to them, they take you down with them. And it has nothing to do with love. It comes from a place of extreme insecurity that you feel so nothing within yourself that you have to attach to someone else. And that's where things can get really dicey as far as people killing other people, you know, crimes of passion, you know, have to do with obsession, you know, and
stalking.
Can you give me a breakdown?
Let's break down three red flags of a possible obsessed lover or a stalker.
someone who incessantly calls over and over and over again. And there's just, there's no let up in that. And they want to know where you are, what you're doing at every given moment in time. And then they start making threats. I mean, it's like, look, if you're not here, you're not doing this, that's it. And then you'll notice that you may be, you know, not free to go different places. There may be even some forced sex, you know, that says, you know, you're mine. And, you know, they really don't care about you. They're just about meeting their immediate needs right then and there. So however that transfers over, you can identify that, whoa, I've got a stalker, I've got an obsession here. And it's a good idea to really back off in the beginning, because if you keep playing with it, you keep toying with it, that's when it gets really, really ugly. And then you involve everybody else around you. So it no longer affects just you. It's those people around you that are put at risk and are put at danger. I've just experienced this just this last week myself. You know, one of my girlfriends, you know, had to do a restraining order on this guy that started obsessing and stalking her. And then he makes threats against me. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. This isn't happening. You know, and then I've got some girlfriends that are, you know, coming to my aid too, saying, hey, you know what? You don't mess with Tamara. I love that.
And you know what? Let me tell you all, if you want further information, go on Google and check out the National Domestic Violence Hotline. If you feel that you're in a relationship with an obsessed or controlling abusive partner, give them a call. They're there to help you. The number is 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233. For some reason, I just felt like I had to go there. Someone out there is listening that needs that number, so do call it, because help is a phone call away, and don't be embarrassed, because you're going to get your life back onto where it's supposed to be, back on the track that you're supposed to have it on. And you know, if you don't, what is the song that said, if at first you don't succeed, pick yourself up and try again. Mm-hmm. So you know what? You got to face it, erase it, replace it, and move on to the next partner. So on that note, speaking of obsession, I am a little bit obsessed, as everybody is in this country and the world right now, on the death of Michael Jackson.
I know.
And I don't think it's a forced obsession, I've got to tell you, because everywhere you turn, that's where we are. We always see Michael Jackson, Michael Jackson, Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. I've got to tell you, I've even gone on eBay and I've purchased a book that he's autographed. Mm-hmm. Now, I would never have done it in the past. Now, I've had people call and write me emails to say everything from the negative to the positive about Michael Jackson. I'm not touching the negative. That's not my show. But what I want to know, and that's why I'm having our in-house astrologer, Elizabeth Mercedes, on tonight. So we want to welcome Liz. She's going to come on the air in just a second, because she's got Michael Jackson's birth chart ready for us.
Wow.
So Liz, whenever you're ready, we're going to pull your mic up. You can come on the air and talk about it. I know you're preparing, but we can't wait to hear from you and what you've got to say about Michael Jackson. So do your thing. And hi, you're here. We got you. So Liz, welcome to Max and Friends. You're back by popular demand, just like Tamara. Everyone loves an astrologer, and everyone loves a sex therapist. So I think the three of us need to go on national tour together, because this is where it's at. We are moneymakers with this whole setup right here. So welcome back, Liz. Now, Liz, I phoned you today because I was, you know, it's all over. Poor Michael Jackson died at 50 years old. What was going on in his chart when he died?
Poor Michael Jackson honestly did not stand a chance. Now that I look at his chart, there's just so many things going on. There's so many planets that move very slowly that are touching parts of his chart, which means they have a really serious impact on it. For example, one of the things going on is Uranus, which is the planet of unexpected, unpredictable events, was just dipping into his house of health. So that's kind of interesting, because it was a very unexpected and unpredictable, you know, event.
Right.
Another thing that was going on was there's this grand conjunction that I always talk about, which actually starts the age of Aquarius, and it's Chiron conjuncting Neptune and Jupiter, and that's all opposing his Mercury right now. That's pretty heavy stuff. The planet of your wound, maybe a deception or an illusion of some sort of like sickness or wound, connected with Jupiter, causes like the unbelievable to happen in a huge way. This is all opposing his Mercury, which is his planet of consciousness and his mind. So Neptune is the otherworldly sort of planet, and it doesn't really happen with everyone in their lifetime. It actually happens once every 84 years, so you may not actually ever get this transit. And it was directly opposing, these three planets were directly opposing his Mercury at this time, which could have caused, like, you know, just basically a release in consciousness. And that actually rules his sun, which is, you know, the core, the essence of who you are. So that was another thing going on. Another thing going on in his chart was Venus and Mars, both together now in Taurus, at late Taurus, were both connecting with his Mars in the eighth house. Not a pretty sight, pretty much, because Mars in the eighth house, Mars is a planet of, you know, aggression and maybe violence and, you know, raw, pure energy in the house, eighth house of death and regeneration, transformation, could have, and the Venus coming from the 10th house, which is public fame, connecting with that could have caused the death as well.
Unbelievable. Now, you know what? I called you today and you thought I was just probably a tad bit crazy. Because I said, Liz, we got to talk, because I feel that, you know, poor Farrah Fawcett, she died as well. And this is a woman who was so famous for Charlie's Angels. And then that documentary she did, I think she grasped a lot of followers in that as well, just recently. And at the time of her death, what happens is she gets overshadowed by Michael Jackson. Is there something in her chart that could have determined that?
Yeah, actually, it's so funny. And I really didn't know if I could find it, but I did. And it's just unbelievable. Farrah has Saturn in Leo, which is her planet of karma, is in the sign of Leo, which is in the sign of self-worth and recognition. And it means that basically she had to strive, and it's in her second house of self-worth. So there you go. It's really, really enhanced. And basically she has a pretty much of a lifetime, you know, situation here in finding her true value and her self-worth. And it's connected with the planet of death, which is just so interesting, Pluto. All this is in her second house. And funny enough, Michael has that whole Uranus thing going on, which went into his sixth house that I was talking about. Well, his Uranus is in the house of fame, and it's actually conjuncting that those two planets. So once again, another sudden, sudden situation, you know, based on Michael Jackson's fame, triggering again, even though she's, you know, not even here, even in her death, it's still triggering that same issue that she probably dealt with in her life. Unbelievable.
Wow.
It's really, poor Farrah. We really need to, like, give her some props here.
Well, I wrote on my Twitter update, you know what? God finally got his angel. And that's how I look at it. He got his Charlie's Angels. So that's how I put it. And, you know, I came up, I was really thinking deeply about, you know, this whole death of Michael Jackson, just because at first, did you believe it? Did you not believe it? I still have the hope that, you know, it's a big publicity stunt and that he's going to be like, come out on stage in London doing the Thriller song. I think it would be the most exquisite publicity stunt, but unfortunately, I don't think it's going to happen. But, you know, I have this feeling, and I would love both your insight on it. I said, and I'm going to find it, so just bear with me for one moment, because I know it's on either my Facebook or my Twitter page. But I was really upset, and, you know, we had this conversation, and I said to someone, you know, I think there comes a point in time, and I'm going to read it to you word for word, because there comes a point in time when I think as an icon, when this person is an icon, they can no longer become any bigger. I wrote this: when an icon comes to the point where they can no longer do anything bigger or be anything bigger, God comes to take them home. And Michael Jackson, you know, I think what bigger things could he have done? And Liz, I'm going to ask you that question because you've got his chart. Was it really the end of his time, or could he have done bigger things than what he's done?
Pretty much he has a huge stellium in the 10th house. He's got five planets there. Three of them are in Leo, the spotlight, all in his house of fame. I mean, with this really big connection thing going on, opposing all of that, and then all the other stuff going on in the 8th house of death, and then actually the sun, you know, opposing the Pluto. It's really a lot of information, but really all these opposing factors, I mean, I don't know. I think that he, you know, I could see that, you know, he was just ready to kind of release into, like, another world. I mean, I don't know how I could really decipher that, but I can pretty much really see what's going on here, and, you know, in his death.
Yeah. All right, well, I've got to segue real quick back to sex, because, you know what, someone just tweeted me, and they said, is there ever a cure for being a pedophile?
That's a really, That's a really, really good question. One of the things that does ensure the possibility of having a, well, not necessarily a cure, but something that allows you to overcome that is by being able to identify with the little boy or the little girl on the inside of you during the time that you were molested, that you were hurt, that you were traumatized. If you can develop empathy for you, there's then the possibility of being able to develop empathy for another person. One of the reasons why a perpetrator, a victim will become a perpetrator is because they never will get in touch or identify or deal with or work with that person on the inside of them that was hurt. It's almost if you never deal with it, you're bound to repeat it. Because in a weird, sick way, there's a psychological lift that takes place with someone who then becomes the perpetrator, because what happens psychologically is that they are no longer the victim. They're now the perpetrator, and in a weird, sick way, they feel empowered.
Oh, I got to break into this real quick. Janet Jackson's on BET right now.
Okay.
The BET Awards, and unfortunately, it's too painful for her to say anything.
Okay.
I'm just, let's all have a minute of silence for Michael Jackson.
Okay.
And Farrah, Max.
And Farrah Fawcett, of course. Mm-hmm. Okay, she just said, to the world, Michael is an icon, and to us, he's family. Oh, poor thing. Mm. It's hard when you lose someone in your family. But you know what, Liz? We want to talk about more about Farrah and Michael, so let's get right back into their comp, into their charts, because, you know, dead air on the radio is like the worst thing ever. So let's keep it talking. Let's keep it going. Everyone, you're listening to Max and Friends. We're going to lift this spirit up right now on LA Talk Radio. Call in with your questions for sex. Call in with your questions on astrology. Call in with anything you want to talk about. The lines are open. The studio is 323-203-0815. That's the number here at LA Talk Radio for Max and Friends. Liz, what's going on with these charts? Because I know you got so much more to say.
What's really great about astrology is you can take two people's charts and do what's called a composite chart, which is the midpoints of both of the people's planets, including their rising sign. And it's really revealing as to the entity that exists when two people are together. And it's the reason why, you know, you act differently with everybody. So I did a composite chart with Michael Jackson and Farrah Fawcett, and their rising sign, which is their outer appearance to the world, how they meet the world, is in the sign of Leo, which is the spotlight. Just crazy enough. And what's right on the ascendant is the planet Pluto, which is, once again, the planet of death and regeneration and transformation. Crazy enough, the moon, which goes very, very quickly, was just transiting over that point in time. The moon acts as a trigger to events that happen. So that was happening right as all that went down, which is really interesting. And, you know, connecting to the ascendant means that it was just shown to the outer world. It's just basically right out there. Another thing is Saturn is transiting their first house. Heavy karma in the two of these people together as a unit to the world. Another thing is that Saturn transiting. Saturn is in the composite chart in the second house. Again, like in Farrah's chart, it's in the house of self-worth and self, you know, value and your morals and stuff like that. Another thing that they have that's pretty interesting is that they have Mars composite in the eighth house. The eighth house is the house of death and regeneration. Mars is the planet of action, ego. One of the things they say with people that have this in their composite chart is make sure that your egos don't overtake each other, and make sure that you guys can both express yourselves, you know, because that is one of the, you know, downfalls of that position, which is kind of what happened in Farrah's case. She got the short end of that stick. So that's pretty interesting. Oh, and another thing is, in their composite chart, the triple conjunction that I talk about in Aquarius was in their house of health together as well.
Mm.
Oh, and Pluto. This is so much. This is amazing. Pluto is also close enough within orb of their Chiron, which is, you know, the planet of woundedness or sickness or healing. It could be a healing, but if, you know, the energy doesn't get healed, it could, you know, be like a death or something like that, especially Pluto connecting with it absolutely it could be that, because Pluto's the planet of transformation, and if you don't transform, you're pretty much just going to go to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, you know what? Sorry, Tamara, what were you saying?
Well, you know what, Liz, too, do you think, too, that there's kind of like a soul longing to go home? Do you think that really like their soul or their spirit decides, you know what, like I've lived my entire icon, I've been as big as I could possibly become, and my soul's ready to go. Does that go along with like the planets and the charts, too?
Yeah, I really do believe that. I really believe that our life is pretty much planned out. Maybe not everything as far as our willpower, you know, to certain events. Things like that, but I think there's certain milestones in your life that are set in stone, and yeah, that's pretty much in astrology. Is, you know, it's not a scary thing, but it's more like a guide. You can see things like that in the chart, the energies. Yeah, absolutely. Until we get to the full fledged age of Aquarius, where we all ascend into the next world.
Yes,
we're still going to experience death.
Yes, yes. Wow, you're great, Liz. Thanks.
You know what, everyone? I just have to put my mic on mute because the last couple of minutes, Liz, I love you and I love everything you said, but I was also listening to Jamie Foxx sing I'll Be There at the BET Awards, and it was amazing. So everyone, do check out BET.com for the whole show tonight because it was a total dedication to Michael Jackson. But I want to say a funny quote that Farrah Fawcett once said, and you're going to love this, Tamara.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually two, so we're going to give her her light right now, her spotlight now, Liz. You ready? Farrah Fawcett had a quote, and this was it. God made man stronger, but not necessarily more intelligent. He gave women intuition and femininity, and used properly, the combination easily jumbles the brain of any man I've ever met.
That's beautiful.
You like that? I'm going to send it to you.
I love it. Please send it. That's beautiful. Okay. The strength of a man and the intuition of a woman. It's
right?
Awesome. It's awesome.
That's right. And then another great one that Farrah Fawcett said is, marriages that last are with people who do not live in Los Angeles. So, Farrah Fawcett, we keep your name alive. We keep your humor going. And thank you for being one of Charlie's Angels.
Yeah.
So, that's that. And so, Liz, let's talk about, what do you want to talk about, Liz? Do you have any questions for our sex doctor?
You know, not really at this point.
Okay.
I have my parents listening, and I don't really want to get into that.
Well, actually, you know what, Liz? I really admire you because, you know what? You've totally put sex aside to focus on your life. And I'm sorry if I'm telling your business, but I think that that should actually be a big inspiration to a lot of people because it's a very smart choice. So,
yeah, pretty much, you know, guys aside. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm really, God is my relationship at this point right now.
Yeah. And that's a great thing. And that's why, you see, so thank God for that. And I've got to ask Tamara, do you have a question for Liz? I know she doesn't have your chart, but do you want to ask her something astrologically, what's going on?
Oh, Liz, that's so cool that you said that because I've asked God to be my heart husband. So that's really where my alignment is. I'm just wondering if there's any feeling that you're getting just by hearing my voice, just being so in tune yourself with God and the stars and the planets. And is there something that comes up just in hearing my voice?
I think your words are amazing. I think your insight is really, really, and it's just really deep and intellectual. And I'm sure you've helped so many people. I really agree with the things that you say. Like, it's on a really deep level, especially, like, the things you say about, like, obsession. It, like, has nothing to do with love. Like, things like that. I just feel like you really know what you're talking about. And you probably, I can't wait to see your chart, but I can imagine that you're definitely here as a helper and a healer. And probably this triple conjunction is happening in your first house or your 10th house or something like that, or your house of work. And you might have Scorpio. I'm sure there's Scorpio somewhere in your chart, majorly, if you're talking about sex. So I don't know, but what sign are you?
You know what? I'm a Virgo. I'm
September 4th.
Yes,
that's amazing. I'm September 2nd.
Oh my gosh.
That's amazing. You know what? Okay, well, now I can even say more.
You know what, Liz? Just give me 1 second because, you know what? Speaking of Scorpios, I know we got one on the line right up because on the line right now. So, Scorpio, my sister, Nikki Tucci, what's going on? I know you got a question for Liz.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you guys tonight?
We're good.
We're good.
So, Nikki, you know, Liz, we've been working on Nikki's chart because I told Nikki to call in. So, Nikki, what is your question to Liz? Because she's got your life planned out in your relationship.
You've got my life in your hands, literally, on a piece of paper right now, for the most part. And I don't know. We pulled up some dates going through a transitional relationship. I want to know what's going on with the Cancer Scorpio.
Cancer Scorpio situation. I have the composite chart for you and your significant other, and then I also have your chart going on in front of me. So there's a bunch of different things I can say. First, I'll say that Pluto is transiting your 12th house. Not the easiest time for you. It's definitely a time where you're transforming these unconscious, hidden, you know, subconscious drives that are ruling your life. And Pluto is now here to destruct them. So it's not the happiest time. You might be, you know, really diving into like a dark, dark place right now and just basically, you know, spring cleaning your unconscious mind. So that will take a while. You're going to become just extremely empowered to the point where you're going to use all this, like Tamara said, with the whole pedophile thing. Like, if you don't, like, you know, rise above it, you'll continue to kind of do the same thing. Well, you're actually about to dig in and transform your issues so that you have really powerful control over your situation, your actions, and stuff like that. So that's going to take a while. And in the beginning of the process, it's not very easy. But as Pluto progresses, you'll gain more power over that. Another thing that's going on in your chart right now is Saturn is conjuncting your Saturn. Let me make sure this is right. Saturn is, oh, actually, no, it's not conjuncting your Saturn. I'm sorry. But that's in Leo. What should we call it? Saturn is now going into your 8th house. It was in your 7th house where you might have been in a partnership that one of you was either acting as a parent to the other or something like that. There was a heavy karma going on. It might not have been the easiest relationship, but it was a karmic one for sure, especially with Saturn being natally in your 7th house. You know, you do happen to have karma in your one-on-one relationships. They may not be easy, but they're your karma. Actually, they're in the sign of Leo as well, like Farah, and it has to do with really learning your self-worth and your true value and becoming the queen who you really are in your relationships and just, you know, acting and playing the part. Now it's actually dipping into your 8th house. It's going to be going forward. It's not going to go back again. So now it's in your house of intimacy and sharing where you're going to become more empowered with connecting with people on an intimate level. And you're going to learn lessons in that area for the next 2.5 years. So that's going to be good for you. Maybe it's the same sort of issue where you're learning how to kind of really be a part of an intimate partnership in a really healthy, real healthy way.
That's great. I've got to interrupt you real quick. But, Nikki, you've got Liz's number, and I want you two to connect after the show. But, Nikki, this is what I got to say to you. Face it, erase it, replace it, because you've got so much to offer to a man that any man who passes you up or who treats you like the one that's treating you now is should not even be in your life. You know what I'm talking about, sister?
Man, that's why you're my brother. I love you guys. Good night.
Hey, before you go, Nikki, what's your jewelry line? Hello, we need to promote it.
Facebook me, friend request me on Entity Jewels, ENTITY Jewels. It's a new line that I started. It's kind of like a rebirth sort of thing. Bunch of cool jewelry, bangles, bracelets,
and
rings.
Why did you choose the word entity, Nikki?
Because entity is something that exists, has a, what is it, a separate existence that can exist separately as one.
And you, my friend, my sister, can exist separately as one without any other man to try to take over your life or treat you like shit. I love you. Have a good night, and I'll talk to you after the show.
Good night, guys. Thanks.
Entity Jewels on Facebook, everyone, so go for it. Now, you know what? That was my sister. Tamara, sorry we didn't get a chance for you to tell her what to, but we didn't really have a question from her. But you know what? That's the relationship. Liz, if anyone wants to contact you for their charts, where can they reach you?
They can email me at starscripts@mac.com. That's pretty much the best way to reach me.
Or you can email me, max@maxtucci.com. Find me on Twitter, twitter.com/maxtucci. Tamara, where can people find you?
They can find me at www.tamarabowman.com.
Before we go, Tamara, what's your favorite Michael Jackson song?
Oh, my gosh. It would have to be Beat It.
Of course. The sex doctor would not beat it. Hello. That was definitely Scorpio. You are a triple Scorpio because the sex doctor's favorite songs is Beat It. Liz, what's your favorite Michael Jackson? What's your favorite actor? Yeah, she's Virgo.
My favorite one right now is Man in the Mirror because I really think that he had a message for the world and I hope that people really listen to it. He was a Virgo as well.
Mm.
And we're all, you, me, and Tamara, Michael, and I are all pretty much 2 days apart. Each 2 days apart. That's kind of interesting.
Wow.
And I've got to just tell you, our caller, Richie, before I tell you my favorite song and my quote, Richie wrote, I was trying to get out the fact true love is more than the body. It is the soul of the woman you fall in love with. So Tamara, wanted to know. And I've got to tell you, my favorite Michael Jackson song, there's two. One is Have You Seen My Childhood? It's one of the most precious songs. And the other one is I'll Be There. And the quote from Michael Jackson that I'm going to give the world tonight, because we're going to wrap this show up here on Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. I thank all of you so much for tuning in. Tamara and Elizabeth, you guys always are sensational guests on my show. I love having you on because you make my listeners call in. You make my listeners want to just absorb the show because you guys are such positive entities. And thank you so much. My quote from Michael Jackson before I say goodnight and let you all say goodnight is, in a world filled with hate, we must still dare to hope. In a world filled with anger, we must still dare to comfort. In a world filled with despair, we must still dare to dream. And in a world filled with distrust, we must still dare to believe. Michael Jackson, you're in our thoughts, you're in our prayers, your family. Wherever you are, I hope you and God are doing the moonwalk together because he forgave you. Man might not have, but let the person without sin cast the first stone. Everyone, on that note, have a wonderful, inspired week. Dance the moonwalk to work tomorrow because it's going to be a fantastic day. Monday morning, get up, rise and shine. What's your sign? Right, Liz? You're listening to Max and Friends on 92.3, everyone. Oh, no, you're not. You're listening to Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. Wow, I don't know where that came from. But you know what, guys? Have a wonderful work week. I'm going to see you next Sunday. I'm not going to see you. You're going to hear me next Sunday on Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. Only here, www.latalkradio.com is the place to be. Sunday nights, 8 o'clock in LA, 11 o'clock in New York. Have a blessed, inspired week, everyone. Do your thing and cheer up. You know what? It's going to be an amazing week because that's what you're going to make it. On that note, everyone have a great week. Tamara, peace out. I love you. Go beat it and dance your song. And you know
love
what,
you, baby.
We're going to continue that show. Good night, everyone. I'm out. Max and Friends in LA.
You're listening to the Max.
To the Max.
Only on LA Talk Radio.